In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. It is such a privilege to worship in this place, surrounded by the story. Jesus' life and ministry on this lower level of stained glass, telling the stories of his teachings and acts, mostly from the book of Acts, mostly from the gospel according to Luke and Acts. The great cloud of witnesses in the upper clear story. The great creation, stained glass, that end. And then especially the three profound images of Jesus and his work for us in the St. Mary's Chapel against the wall. The crucifix, reminding us that he suffered on our behalf to ransom us from sin, to pay a debt beyond our capacity to bear, and even now to carry our burdens and sorrows to the throne of God's mercy. Then from there, and I love to stand over in that spot in the St. Mary's Chapel and to look up. I love to look up at the brilliant stained glass of the Alpha and the Omega, where is depicted the one who rose from the dead and ascended, as the church marked just this past Thursday, to take his place at the right hand of the Father, because he has destroyed death and triumphed over the enemy, and he has crushed Hades, and he has bound the strong man, and in his own body has carried off humanity to the heights of the heavens. Jesus, the great Alpha and Omega, the indescribable beginning, the incomprehensible end, the one who now sits enthroned as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who will return to raise us up from the dead and make the whole creation new. And third, the ascended Jesus hovering over our table. The ascended Jesus, who by the Holy Spirit is among us now to welcome us, pray for us, heal us, hold us, mold us, send us. And in the prayer that we read this morning in John chapter 17, Jesus's prayer on the night of his betrayal, he gives us precious resources and insights into his desires for us as he heals, holds, molds, and sends us. One phrase in this prayer is like a banner over it all. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Two delightful and powerful phrases. The second, first, thy word is truth. This is a truth that is fairly shouted throughout the Bible. I've been sustained for years by Michael W. Smith's song that Amy Grant made famous. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. Or as we sang this morning from Psalm 1, happy are they whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. As Jesus prays in this prayer, the words that you, Father, gave to me, I have given to them. Jesus himself says we need every jot and tittle, every jot and tittle. That's Matthew 5, 18. That is every dotting of the I, every flourish that distinguishes letters that look alike, like a capital G and a capital C. Because, you know, it's one thing to say God is good. It's another thing to say God is good. And we don't have time for it now, but in the fourth century, the church realized that there was a world of difference in the placement of an I in the middle of the word that described the Son's relation to the Father. In almost the last words of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19, almost the last words of the entire Bible are, woe to you if you add or subtract a single word. We need it all. When in 2 Peter chapter 1, we talked about this in Dean's Hour this morning. When in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter recalls what he saw at Jesus' transfiguration, he insists he's not dealing in cleverly devised myths, not making this stuff up, folks. And he goes on in that chapter to say that his true stories about Jesus confirm the writings of the Hebrew Scriptures. And he even goes on in chapter 3 of 2 Peter to put the writings of our beloved brother Paul on the same level. So, yeah, that's why I invite you to be seated for the reading of God's holy word, because I hope you're not here to get mere human opinions, because you need truth beyond what any of us could ever have figured out. You need reality, not spin. Life, not legend. Flesh and blood reality, not myth and make-believe. Thy word is truth. Take it to the bank. Second phrase, sanctify them in the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Now, there are a lot of ways to talk about sanctifying, but one way is this. It's clearing out junk to make way for treasure. Cleaning out a wound to make way for healing. Tossing clothes from a shameful past to make way for a wardrobe fit for a new life. Jesus prays for four different aspects of the new truths that he would have us to live in. Protection, oneness, joy, and mission. And I'd like to run through those four real quickly. Sanctifying them in these truths. Protection. Verses 11, 12, 14, and 15. Father, protect them in your name that you have given me. I protected them. I guarded them. The world has hated them because they do not belong to the world. But I ask you to protect them. Protection. But I live in a world, I don't know about you, I live in a world that does not feel safe. I feel the contempt. It seems better not to take any risks, to keep my head down and admit I don't think, and not admit that I don't think certain jokes are funny. Just nod my head when somebody asserts that all religions are the same and that no religion is best. What I need is this sanctifying word of truth from the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That was the verse that Bishop Cyril of Jerusalem used to say in the 4th century when at a person's chrismation, as a part of their baptism, he would make the sign of the cross with oil on their chest. Remember this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For protection, I suggest you memorize and tuck that one away and speak up when you feel that Holy Spirit prod. Second, oneness. Holy Father, protect them that in your name, protect them in your name that you gave me, so that they may be one as you and I are one. I don't know what you found, but I found people can disappoint. Especially in the church, people can disappoint, yeah? How many are here because you've been hurt elsewhere? How many of you have been hurt here? How many of us are on the verge of building an unbreachable wall around our heart? I don't need you. I don't like you. Pretty sure you wouldn't like me if you really got to know me. You don't think like me. You don't pray like me. You don't sing like me. You don't vote like me. Sanctifying truth is that I do need you. You complete me. You cover my blind spots. You protect me from my own worst instincts. And knowing that you need me to believe, to trust, to hope, to love helps you to believe, to trust, to hope, to love. Sanctify them in this truth, Christ prays, that they may be one as we are one. In a world in which people keep moving further and further away from each other, finding more and more to disagree about, there's no greater proof that Christ is the real deal than to find people who set aside all their disagreements and preferences and opinions, set them aside for the sake of love of Him. Joy. Verse 13, I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. There are so many reasons to go full bore Eeyore. Life sucks. The world sucks. Washington sucks. Tallahassee sucks. My job sucks. My portfolio sucks. Everything about my circumstances sucks. Listen, the whole biblical story is that glumness does not win. The psalmist says, write this into your heart, Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And Easter says, indeed, there was weeping for 3 nights. And resurrection joy came in the morning. As Yaroslav Pelikan quipped, and I've quoted him before, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, nothing else matters. If Jesus did rise from the dead, nothing else matters. If Jesus rose, joy becomes a choice. Joy becomes a matter of finding gratitude in any moment. Gratitude for the opportunity to know Jesus better through good times and bad, encouraging news and bad news, because He's always there. Counselor, friend, comforter, healer, bearer of every burden, source of the deepest belly laugh in the face of the devil's most sinister schemes. Take this to the bank, because it is sanctifying truth. Weeping comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And fourth, mission. Verse 18, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Now, you may not feel that you have a voice, but you do. You may feel you have no purpose, but you do. You may feel you have no mission, but you do. There's so much more to say here, but it's Mother's Day. And I simply want to point you to Timothy, who is prepared to become Paul's student and protege through his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. They just taught him the Bible, taught him the ways of the faith. And then when Paul comes along, he goes, I know what my life is about. And before them, I'd point you to this mysterious woman at the well that Jesus meets in John chapter 4, who becomes the first missionary in John's gospel when she returns to her village to wonder to everybody whether this man who told her about everything in her life just might be the Messiah. And to Mary Magdalene at the end of John's gospel, who becomes apostle to the apostles when the resurrected Jesus sends her to tell them the good news. And then I would invite you this summer to Coco Wisdom's Dean's Hour class in August. Coco is one of the leaders of our 6 o'clock congregation, and she's just begun her doctoral program at the Oxford Center for Christian Studies. And she's going to be teaching a class this summer on women of whom the world is not worthy. And she's going to talk about, well, like the third century martyrs from Carthage, Perpetua and Felicity, whose lives keep speaking because of their willingness to die for their Lord. Or Julian of Norwich, the 14th, 15th century anchoress, which meant she spent most of her years locked having locked herself into this concrete box where all she does is write revelations of the divine love, the earliest surviving English language works by a woman, a brilliant and profound theologian. No voice, no mission. Yeah, just shut me up in there and just let me write. Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz, 17th century Mexican nun and scholar, theologian, musician, advocate in the 17th century of women's education. And Jerina Lee from the 19th century from New Jersey, first woman preacher in the African American Episcopal Church. Oh, this day, wherever you are, I urge you to sit in, steep in, settle in these sanctifying truths. For protection, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. For oneness, so that they may be one as we are one. For joy, weeping comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And for mission, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And as you know these sanctifying truths, may you be deeply and richly blessed. Amen.